Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Often we've heard that one of the reasons humans are so superior is because they have bigger brains. But is this necessarily true? When I was going through my podcast fodder file, looking for a good subject for a podcast, I came across two articles that addressed brain size and intelligence from two different perspectives. The first one was an evolutionary anthropology study that looked at the bigger size of the human brain as a function of neoteny. Neoteny refers to the state of physiological and behavioral immaturity that domesticated species are in relative to their wild ancestors. And one of the characteristics of neoteny in mammals, and particularly primates, is it takes them longer to mature. They spend an average of a third of their life as infants or juveniles. One reason they do this is because it takes them that long to get the hang of things. And if it takes a wild primate that long, it seems safe to say that it would take a domesticated one even longer, because domesticated animals in the overall scheme of things are more vulnerable. They're relatively new additions to the planet. They don't have the ancient database that wild species enjoy. Consequently, when molecular biologist Philip Keitovich of the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Leipzig, Germany, compared the development of young primates with young humans, he discovered that it took us longer to reach that same stage. For example, if we look at our closest relative, the chimpanzee, we become sexually mature approximately 5 years after chimps do. Our teeth erupt later. We have this whole sequence of developmental effects that occur in humans later than they do in chimps. Because of that, the brain becomes larger. We know that primary brain growth is in young children. That's when they're doing all their learning. And then it begins to slow down as they get older. Granted, we never lose the ability to replace neurons, but it's not like when we were young, when we were constant learning machines, dealing with constant changes in our body, learning how to survive, not only in our physical environment, but in our mental environment. So, bigger brains in that regard, for developmental reasons, as a function of our domestication and our neoteny, it makes sense to me. The other study looked at the common belief that bigger brains mean greater intelligence. If you track the animal cognition studies like I do, you quickly realize that we really don't have the inside track on intelligence relative to other species. Lars Chitka, a professor of sensory and behavioral ecology at Queen Mary, University of London, says about the brain, using a computer analogy, bigger brains in many cases may be bigger hard drives, not necessarily better processors. I can appreciate this. When my hard drive broke on my computer and I replaced it with a bigger one. I expected to see all kinds of dramatic changes in response to that, but I really didn't. My computer certainly didn't get any faster, and it certainly didn't get any smarter. Chitka and his colleague, Jeremy Nevin of the University of Cambridge, did a literature search and found studies showing that insects are capable of some intelligent behaviors comparable to those of dogs. For example, honeybees can count, they can categorize smaller objects or human faces like dogs, they can understand same and different, and differentiate between shapes that are symmetrical and asymmetrical. But the point is that while some increases in brain size might predict an animal's intelligence, It seems more likely that the reason that we make the assumption that it does owes as much to our desire to convince ourselves that our bigger brains make us smarter than because we've actually studied the intelligence of these other species.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.